The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I was looking at what you've been doing recently. Like, you've been quite busy. You had that big Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, event. That was hilarious. I'm really happy the name.
So they did the draft in Ireland in Balbriggan.
In the school in Balbriggan in the Irish School of Music and Song. And I've done a few gigs there. And just to like raise money for like, last time we did a gig there, there was a kid that got a scholarship to go to the school for a year. And I'll be there on Wednesday, just doing like a charity thing, which is like secret, which I shouldn't be talking about. But we're trying to raise enough money for a piano, grand piano as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're lovely, the people, the staff, everybody there, lovely. All the kids are gas.
Yeah, so. And the American link as well, which meant that Balbriggan was seen all over the state.
It was hilarious. Exciting, I was trying not to speak too fast because the north side of Dublin comes out really, really like a lot if I'm nervous. But yeah, I'm happy the name, because we found out what the name of the guy was. Denai Dennis Sutton was his name. And I was like, please don't be a three, like triple barrel name. And it was. But it was easy enough to say, because you got 10 seconds to figure out how to do it phonetically.
So you had to say the name and do all of that business as well.
I kept saying like, I'm singer-songwriter Gavin James. And I'm here like, I was the worst. Like, it's, but I got it in the end, but it's fine.
Listen, you were telling me there as well, and you're releasing new music and we're going to play your new song for the first time on radio today, which we're really excited about.
Cheers.
But you were telling me that you've gone through a bit of a period for a couple of months where you had to do a bit of work on the voice. What happened?
Yeah, you know what happened? It's kind of like a blessing a little bit in disguise, because I've been kind of going for the last 10, 12 years, like nonstop. And I never really thought about my voice really too much. And then I think at Christmas I hemorrhaged it. If I feel like I hemorrhaged it, and I have like, I got it checked and I have these little polyps. I think they're called polyps.
On the vocal cords.
On the vocal cords, yeah. But they're only very, very small. So I took a couple of months off to kind of fix it. And like, I went to vocal therapy. Big shout out to Deirdre Masterson, who has helped me in vocal therapy for the last couple of months. But it got the polyps to get much smaller, because usually you need to get surgery for this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it became so tiny. And I had my first kind of show on Saturday in the Borough Gosh, which is sold out. And I've done like bits and bobs before that, but it feels so much better now. And like, luckily, I'm at the end of it now, where these little things are not getting in the way of my voice at all.
Is that scary though?
Terrifying. Yeah, I hate it. It was awful when you, because you always, I mean, it happens to a lot of people. I've chatted to so many singers, like, I won't name anybody, but that loads of singers that I've chatted to, some from Ireland, some from UK, that have just given me advice and given me like ways of getting, but the only real way of getting it better is to learn how to sing from a different part of your voice.
So did you have to do that in the last few months?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I had to learn, not relearn.
That's mad.
It is mad, but like, the voice sounds weirdly a little, for me, if it's easier now. Because all the things that I never really learned how to do in the 10 years or 12 or 20, well, since I was 14, I'm 34 now. Since I was 14, I've been singing. So, and I was singing in Temple Bar, shouting the head off myself, and singing on Grafton Street, trying to be the loudest person without a mic.
Yeah.
So all these
it was bound to happen, really.
At some point, some people just, it never happens to them.
That's fine too and understandable. Yeah. But I can just imagine feeling that there's something wrong, going, no, this is my instrument, this is my livelihood.
It was the worst feeling ever. But I mean, now after these couple of months, I mean, it's May, I took January off and February off and March off, just to kind of like get it better. And
unprecedented for you.
I didn't know what to do with myself.
Mr. 14 gig a week, man, at one stage.
I had no idea what to do with myself. I just learned how to make really good eggs. And so I kind of took a little bit of time. I did a few gigs here and there, and a few radio things, but it feels so much better. So much more comfortable now, like even talking.
Yeah.
Because even in January, you know, when somebody says something's wrong with something, you start like really thinking, oh no.
Overthinking it.
And then like, I wake up and I was like, hi, everybody.
I sound weird?
Like, and I do, because I'm totally putting it on. But but it's so much better now. I feel so good about it. And I've been singing in my gaffins. I have a studio in town that I use all the time. Mm-hmm. So I've been recording stuff. All the stuff I've released recently, including this one, is like with me relearning how to like use stuff. So
use your voice.
Yeah.
So. How's the pub going?
Pub is there. I live very close to the pub, so I try not to go in too much.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, because the pints are wonderful. So, and I'm trying to stay away from the pints as well. But yeah, no, it's great. Alex is doing a great job in there. Alex, he's looking after the pub. Mm. And my brother is also there. But it's great. A few gigs in there. There was a Strokes tribute band in there recently.
Well, that was cool. Part of the ambition, wasn't it? To give up-and-coming musicians and performers a place to showcase their talent. So are you hitting the mark there? Is it doing what you wanted
to do? I think it's
going to
take a little longer. I think I'm going to move my studio up there, hopefully soon. And then that will be hopefully a place where local artists can use as well.
Upstairs in the pub.
Because there's a place upstairs that's like not really being utilised at all, which which would be awesome if it was like a little spot. Because I know the lads are doing a great job there getting, there's some acts playing every weekend. So like it's
pub culture has changed a lot, hasn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
And you have to offer something else to attract people in. It's not people, you know, some people are still going for pints, but not as much.
Jenga pizza. Jenga. And like, I mean, I love Jenga. But yeah, no, it's definitely different to where compared to what, like, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Like, I kind of grew up in Temple Bar. So like, it's way different than that.
Yeah, well, Temple Bar is still buzzing. Still though, buzzing, isn't
though.
It?
Yeah, Temple Bar is mad.
You have a big fan base in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a mad. Very interesting story about how that happened. Tell us.
Brazil, I ended up doing like my first acting job in Brazil, which was hilarious. They had no idea what I was saying because I tried to do it in Portuguese, but I couldn't say the words properly at all. But now my Portuguese is probably a little bit better. No, it's not. I'm not even going to say it is. It's terrible. But yeah, I had to do an acting job on a TV show called Pega Pega. And one of my songs called Nervous was on that. And I had no idea like how big this show was. And like, I think 20, I don't know more, like 40 million or something people watch it.
Incredible.
Like an episode. But every time this couple seeing each other, like my voice would be like, ooh. Like it just kept like happening all the time. And then we flew home with my manager and then we came back. The song was number one in Brazil. And then they took Always Two for another show. And then like, the shows kept getting bigger. Like the gigs kept getting bigger over there and stuff. So it's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, now there's loads of people here from Brazil.
So that's what they do in Brazil with a TV show. Yeah. So every time that couple meets,
it's crazy.
The same song plays.
It's like their song.
Their song.
Their
great.
Song.
I love it from your perspective, right?
Yeah, I know. But like, imagine you didn't like it. Like, it'd be awful. It's really high.
Imagine if that happened in real life.
Oh, no, that'd be shocking. No, that'd be shocking. That's my internal monologue the whole time. Oh, God. No.
Every time you saw your partner, the same song played.
That would be terrible.
Would be terrible. Yeah, it would really depend on the song, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, it'd have to. Yeah, you need to like it. Yeah, it's good.
So does that mean you go to Brazil and you gig there and it's become a place where you're kind of like second home? Like, is Brazil your Dublin for David Gray?
Yes. I mean, that's the best way of putting it. Yeah, it's my white ladder is Brazil. Yeah, 100%. I love it over there. I mean, we went before lockdown, went like four times a year, and then even after lockdown, we went last year and I think 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So every kind of 2 years we go over there. I'm going to try get over there this year because I haven't been in, I think, a year and a half or something. But it's great. It's great. Everybody.
We were chatting earlier about Spotify.
Yeah.
They're going to increase what they charge people. And then we got into, you know, how it works for artists. And it's not great.
It's pretty crazy. I was chatting to my friend Jimbo about this yesterday. Jimbo Barry, actually the guy who wrote this song with me. The song that I think it's the first time we're playing it today. But we were talking about it today. A billion streams is like if you break it down like a lot, if you only write the song and produce it and there's no record label, it's like a billion streams is 750,000 euros.
That's what you would get.
Which is like barely anybody has a billion on anything.
That's Taylor Swift territory.
That's like more. I think even six, seven. Like, I don't even know how many billion there is. But it is mad. It's mad how it works out. But.
So gigging really is where the career, the business end of the career is.
Yeah, gigging's great for that. And radio and stuff. Uh-huh. Radio's great.
But then there are some who say they'll do a tour and they'll come back and they'll owe money at the end of it.
I've done them. Yeah, I've done them lots of times.
That's not a great place to be.
My favourite one was I did a gig. It depends what you bring on the tour, I guess. I mean, I went to Amsterdam. I did a show in Amsterdam. It was like an arena show. Because we sold out one arena in Amsterdam a couple of years ago. And then it's in the Netherlands. And then we went to Belgium and we had like a slightly smaller gig. Went from like, I think 8,000 to like 2,000 people. And then we went to Germany with the same gig and it was like 300 people. And like, that's where it was like, oh, cool. We're going to lose lots of money on this tour. And so it's differentiates between, if you're doing arenas everywhere, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be grand.
Peter Aiken said last week that he expects there to be loads of cancellations and, you know,
flights and stuff.
Yeah, because of what's happening in the Middle East. I mean, are you seeing any of that they're sort of, you're looking at the costs now going, actually, I can't afford to move all of that stuff.
I've booked everything pretty much. Like last week, I was like, let's book all the flights that we can for our money. I'm spending loads of time in Switzerland this year and loads of time in Benelux and in the Nordics. And so I've booked everything this year for everybody. Because if you're traveling with like 9 people, and sometimes we travel with 10 or 12, or sometimes just me and 2 people, like my tour manager, Keith Killen, has been with me since I was 21. So, but we've all been working together for years. But yeah, if you kind of pre-book it in advance, I don't know how much everything's going to be next year.
Do you like the business end of stuff?
I do a bit, yeah. No, I like knowing like 40% of it instead of knowing all of it, because otherwise I'd like not be. I find it harder to be creative.
Some creatives just find that really all that side of things really difficult, and they just don't want to know. But it sounds like you're more involved, maybe.
Yeah, no, I love doing it. I mean, my manager Edison Waters, we're kind of like a team that we've been working together for since I was 20, I think. And so like, we've always kind of done stuff together, and like, So you have to kind of know the ins and outs of the business anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, otherwise, you're kind of screwed from the start.
Well, some people don't, and then they will ultimately end up paying the price. But if you enjoy it, I suppose that's a bonus, right?
I do enjoy it a bit. Like, my brother's a businessman at heart. And even in school, I was kind of music and business was kind of a main thing. But yeah, there is a gap. As in, I'd much rather do the creative stuff then. Because that's where I live. That's
where your heart is.
100%, yeah. But yeah, still knowing about the stuff, as in, like, knowing, like, and having somebody that you trust is very important.
So you have a lot of travel coming up this year, according to what you've just said, but also it's coming into festival season. And I love the sound of that gig you're doing in Limerick.
Oh, the Castle.
Yeah.
I've done them before. It's amazing. It's such a buzz.
It sounds great. What makes it amazing?
I think the one bit of the gig, it's in a castle. So it's amazing. I want to come out on a horse. No, I'm not going to play on a horse. But it's so cool. I mean, there is one bit of the gig, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but there's fireworks and the whole crowd turns around. Which is the one bit which I think is hilarious. Because then you're just standing on stage waiting for fireworks and stuff.
You should get the horse.
I might.
Like, talk to the accountant, see if it's possible.
You
don't need to borrow the horse. Like,
I know, right?
You know, 10 minutes.
Exactly. It'd be fine. I'll just get one of I'd get a fake one. It'd be fine.
No, you have to get a real one.
I think
you have to play and sing while you're on him.
It'd be on the budget.
I think
you got to get it into the budget.
It really depends
if horse prices go up.
You can't go to a castle, have the fireworks and not be on a horse.
Horse and a sword. Yeah. Full night. Be gas.
Do you like those big summer gigs? Are they the best, or do you like the smaller ones?
The ones
with 300 people where you're losing money.
They're always the best ones. I love them ones.
They're small ones.
Small ones where you lose. Yeah. No, I love them. They're the best. I mean, I love playing in, like, Whelan's is my favourite place to play.
Is it?
I love playing Whelan's. Like, that's amazing. But I mean, we're doing the Borgosh. On Saturday, which is going to be like totally.
Were you not telling people about that? Because it's completely sold out. So you can't get tickets. Yeah.
But like, that's a totally different gig because it's just me and I have a grand piano, which I'm going to be swapping from grand piano to acoustic guitar to electric guitar, like all through the night. But everybody's sitting down, it's really like nice vibe.
Yeah, is it though?
Yeah.
Like, I often wonder about that when you're playing music in the way that you do.
Yeah.
Would you prefer people to be able to move, or are you happy that they're all kind of sitting there paying attention?
You got to break the ice really fast. Otherwise, it can become awkward, I find. So you got to break the ice immediately, nearly. I usually say, because a lot of my songs are sad, and then the next song, I'll be like, well, this song's about dying, I hope you like it. And then everybody kind of laughs, hopefully. And then it kind of breaks the ice a bit, because sometimes it can feel like you're in church, and like you can't say anything. So that gig would be interesting. And then you have plans in the gig, because some of the parts kind of go up and down, like this song called Hearts on Fire, where I'll get everybody to jump up. And then the funny thing is everybody just sits down immediately sometimes. Right after.
Afterwards.
I'm like, no, everybody stay up.
Yeah, we've done that bit now. Everybody sits down again.
But I love it. It's more nerve-wracking though. Because you can hear everything you're doing wrong.
Well, the intensity of the attention on you is so much more than if people were having a few drinks and milling around.
Yeah, because you kind of like that. Because sometimes if people are being rowdy, you can kind of like play with it a bit.
Uh-huh.
And it's really fun. Like,
why are your songs sad? You're not a sad person.
No, I don't. Again, it's easier. It just falls out of me a bit easier, I think, to write about. I mean, it's nice to have like an outlet if you ever feel down or in my life I've had moments where I've felt like just genuinely sad, and then you can write. Lovely to have like an outlet to be able to, like, this is why I feel like this.
Yeah, because like your disposition notes is sort of sunny and happy, so maybe that's the outlet for the other side.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean I'm not always like wake up like this. I just had a coffee and like a ginger shot and I had like a lovely
Do you like them?
Yeah,
the ginger shots.
One of them, just one of them around the corner are nice. I don't know what it's called.
Is that a new thing in your life, the ginger shots?
I think it's good for you. I mean, I don't know, is it?
I don't know. Well, with all of these things, they make us feel better because we're doing it, right?
I think so. Yeah, I had nothing else to do for 3 months. So like ginger shots, ice baths.
I'd say you didn't cope well with the time off, did you?
I did actually. I kind of liked it. I just learned how to do other things.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Every year now I take 3 months off.
No, I'd be ruined.
Would you?
Definitely.
Let's look at your tour dates because I know people will love to see you over the summer. So Borgosh sold out. Don't even think about it. Then the next day you're in Killarney.
In Killarney in the INEC. So similar kind of gig.
On the 3rd. Is that Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of tickets left for that. And then the one we were talking about where you're going to get the horse and the fireworks.
It's going to be sick.
We've made all of this up, by the way.
We'll need to like plan when the horse comes out and when the fireworks happen because you don't scare the horse.
King John's Castle in Limerick. The organisers now will be going, what?
I know.
Talking about? It's the 5th of June. And then you're in Luxembourg, which is great. 20th of June. Dunmore East at the Haven Fest on the 27th of June. And then in July, you're away again then for ages. You're doing the Netherlands. Loads of gigs in the Netherlands. Do they love you there?
I love the Netherlands, yeah. I think we kind of skipped over at the very start. The first time I did the Olympia in Dublin, we went straight to the Netherlands. And one of the songs just went mad over there. was like a live from Whelan's. Mm-hmm. It was a song called The Book of Love. And it was on the radio over there somehow. And I was like, no way.
And it just worked.
Just worked over
these
there.
These things are inexplicable, really,
they
but you take them.
They love singer-songwriters.
So listen, we are going to play your song now. Tell us about it, first of all. First radio play. It's not out till next week, so we're getting a real exclusive
here. So my mate is actually listening to this at home. I wrote it with my friend Jimbo Barry, and he's listening to it.
Hi, Jimbo.
Hey, Jimbo. But yeah, me and him wrote it ages ago, like 2 years ago. And it's just taken this long to release it. But it's about just long-distance relationships with my missus when I was very busy. For ages.
And it's called Light Years. And we're going to get to work on that horse now.
Yes.
Gavin, thank you so much
Thanks
for being
so much,
here.
Claire,
it's lovely to see you. Gavin Cheers. James, Light Years.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.